We live in an immense universe on an extraordinary little blue ball. There's no question it's a masterpiece, and at its center is the human species. Yet each of us, treading across this sacred space, wonders why we're here. What's our part to play in this theater of life? That all depends on the answer to the following three questions. Question number one. Who created this world? All artists leave fingerprints on their work. So, knowing the creation gives a glimpse into the nature of the Creator. The Bible teaches that God is actually three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. Though the clearest glimpses of this Trinity are in the New Testament, all three peek from behind the curtain as early as Genesis 1:1-3. God the Father is the architect. That's how the Bible begins. God created. Specifically, God created the elements out of nothing. Now, that sounds simple, even obvious. Yet every other creation story from the ancient Near East assumes that what's eternal is physical matter, not God. The gods merely fashioned pre-existing matter into the existing world, like children shaping Play-Doh. The Bible, however, asserts that God alone is eternal. Hence, the universe is an extension of God, not vice versa. This Christian worldview stands in opposition to all worldviews that assert matter as eternal rather than God. This includes polytheism, that is, multiple gods, and pantheism, that sees God in inanimate objects such as wind, waves, or animals. The Christian worldview is also in opposition to Darwinian evolution that replaces the eternal God with eternal stuff. The idea that God created the earth is a common belief among the monotheistic religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. However, there's a factor added by Christians that's absent from other religions. The Holy Spirit is the engineer. As we read in Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Hebrew word hovering expresses a vibration. The Spirit quaked to bring order out of chaos. It's not dissimilar to a frantic hostess 30 minutes prior to dinner guests arriving. The Spirit was intent on ordering the creation so it would be a life-giving garden. The Hebrew word for breath is also translated spirit. For example, the breath of God animated Adam in Genesis 2:7. In Genesis 7:22, the word for breath is the very word translated spirit. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. This is also true of animals, according to Psalm 104:30. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Every animal that has breath is sustained by the Spirit. The Spirit is the ongoing force of God that gives life, breath, and sustaining energy on earth. He's relentlessly, intimately, and perpetually involved in the very fabric of our earthly environment. God the Father created, God the Spirit creates. There's a telltale sign when people ignore the Spirit in creation. Namely, the environment becomes a resource to be exploited rather than a gift to be nurtured. The elements become mute, no longer declaring the glory of God like Psalm 119:1-3. We miss God in the thunderstorm and wind, the bloom of a flower and the majesty of the mountains. Our environmental insensitivities betray our ignorance of the Spirit's continued care for every element of our earth. Consequently, Christians restrict worship to a building on Sunday rather than worshiping daily in the expanse of the universe, where broader culture has replaced the love of the Spirit with the law of the jungle. We need to acknowledge the Spirit in creation. God the Father is the architect. God the Spirit is the engineer. Jesus is the builder. He did the heavy lifting during creation. This is seen in Genesis 1:3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. If we lay that alongside John 1, 1 through 3, we see the mechanics of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This Word, as we learn in verse 14, is none other than Jesus. Even before He came to earth in human form, He was fully God, the embodiment, as it were, of God's spoken Word. When God gave the command, Jesus, the Word, turned the command into creation. The Apostle Paul confirmed this. He said, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. That's Colossians 1, verse 15 and 16. What happens when we ignore the role of Jesus in creation? Typically, salvation becomes a future spiritual state in heaven rather than an actual earthly reality. We do, of course, have a future in heaven. Nonetheless, Jesus the Creator is equally interested in your eternal life here and now. So there you have it, the Trinity embedded in the first three verses of Genesis. God is the architect, the Spirit is the engineer, and Jesus is the builder. All three are unique and essential to creation. If any of these are ignored, we'll misunderstand not only the nature of creation, but our own nature and the dignified role God intends for us.